If you would turn in your Bibles, if they're not already there, to the book of Zephaniah. We're going to be studying from this book this morning to a good degree. And if you place your marker there, it's just three chapters in the book. But place your markers there and we'll be going to some other passages as well, but we'll be spending the majority of our time here. Let me begin by saying how good it is for us to be here. We have visitors. We're happy that you're here. Encourage everyone to listen carefully, follow in your Bibles if it's easy for you to do so. We pray that our study together will be helpful to us. It will encourage us, admonish us, to want to be better people and to be right, certainly, with God. To introduce the idea, let me just say that generally, when we think of judgment, we think of the judgment at the end of time. And of course, that is the judgment that concerns us the most. The song that we just sang, Are You Ready? The reference noted was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, where Paul says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may give an account of the things he has done while in the body, whether good or bad. All of us will stand before God in judgment at the end. But the thing that I want to notice this morning is the fact that God has brought judgment through the ages against people and against nations, and the book of Zephaniah deals with one of those judgments. A judgment that God brought particularly upon Judah, that He was going to bring upon Judah as Zephaniah is writing. And so as we study the book, here are some things that I want us to see. And that is that God's judgment, as we talk about judgment, as it was going to be brought against Judah, as well as the other nations around Judah, is so similar to that judgment that we are going to anticipate, or that we do anticipate, the judgment of the last day. As the book of Zephaniah opens, what we see are the objects of God's judgment. That is, those who were going to be condemned are punished. Let's look at verse 4 of Zephaniah chapter 1. And I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place, the name of the idolatrous priest with the pagan priest, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops, those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but also who swear by Milcom, those who have turned back from following the Lord, and those who have not sought the Lord nor inquired of Him. There are five different classes of people that are mentioned here in these verses against whom God's judgment was going to come. One were the false teachers of the day. Did you notice there in verse 4? I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place. The name of the idolatrous priest with the pagan priest. Not only were the false teachers of the day going to be the objects of God's judgment, but those who followed the false teachers. In verse 5, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetop. Not only those who follow the false teachers, but those of divided loyalty. At the end of verse 5, those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but who also swear by Milcom. They were trying to serve both, which is an impossibility. The backsliders of Judah. Verse 6, those who have turned their back from following the Lord. And then he says, he talks about those who are totally indifferent and those who have not sought the Lord nor inquired of Him. Now the interesting thing to me of these five classes of people who are mentioned here in Zephaniah chapter 1, I think sometimes we get the idea that it's the immoral people who are going to be lost. And certainly, a person has to be moral in order to be saved. But a person can be a moral person and still not be saved. The immoral are not even mentioned here. It's the religious people who are going to be, or who are going to be, the objects of God's judgment. A second thing that I want us to notice, and that is the impartiality of God's judgment. We see against whom this judgment was coming. Look at verse 7. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited His guests. And it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel. In the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And there shall be on that day, says the Lord, the sound of a mournful cry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second quarter, and a loud crashing from the hills. Wail, you inhabitants of Mektesh, for all the merchant people are cut down. All those who handle money are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will He do evil. Who will be punished? The king's children will be punished. He mentions there in verses 7 and 8. The common criminals will be punished. Those who, according to verse 9, who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. He says the merchant people, those who deal with money, they will be the objects of God's judgment. And then he just says in verse 12, all. It shall come to pass that at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will He do evil. It didn't matter who they were. God's judgment in the day of Zephaniah would be absolutely without partiality. We need to keep that in mind. A third thing that I want to see about this judgment is the terribleness of God's judgment. Look in chapter 1, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. Let me just stop there for just a second. Here he talks about the mighty men. When this judgment comes, he says the mighty men shall cry out. Look at verse 15. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. And so what we've seen thus far is, we have seen who the objects of God's judgment will be, as poured out upon Judah. We see the impartiality of God's judgment. All will be judged. And we see the terribleness of God's judgment. Let's look at one other before we begin to make some applications. We see here in Zephaniah the finality of God's judgment. Look at chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Gather yourselves together, yes, gather together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued, or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. Here is a plea by Zephaniah for the people to repent. And the key word is the word before. You do this at verse 2, before the decree is issued or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. You do this before that day, because when that day comes, it will be too late. Look at the advice given in verse 3. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld His justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. I want to pause for just a minute. And I want us to see some similarities between this judgment upon Judah and that final judgment that we are going to face. As was true in this judgment, when we think about the final judgment, and we consider who will the objects be of the final judgment. I mean, before I look at that passage, let me just say this. I think there are times when we may begin to think that only, again, the immoral people of the day will be lost. And we must never allow ourselves to be deceived in thinking that way. It's not just those who are immoral who will be lost. Now, I have up here Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. And in this verse, the immoral are mentioned. But what is said in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, but the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sexually immoral and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. A person does not have to be immoral to be lost eternally in hell. A person could be a good moral person, never lie, never use profanity, and yet be lost. He could be a preacher of the gospel. Could be. Could be an elder. Could be a deacon. It could be any of us. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to read what should be a familiar passage to us, beginning in verse 21. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 21, Jesus is teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount. And notice what He says as He's bringing the sermon close to an end. He says, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father who is in heaven. Many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name, cast out demons in Your name, and done many wonderful works in Your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew You. Depart from Me, you who practice lawlessness." You know, as I read that passage, there's a great degree of sadness that comes to my thinking. Here are people standing before God thinking that all is well with their soul. And you see that as they plead their cause. And He says, verse 22, "Many will say to Me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name, cast out demons in Your name, and done many wonderful works in Your name?" And then the Lord's response will be, "I never knew you. Depart from Me, you who practice lawlessness." It's more than just claiming to love the Lord. It's more than just saying the Lord's name. The Lord says, those who will enter into the kingdom of heaven are those who do the will of My Father who is in heaven. Who will be the objects of God's judgment in the final judgment? Well, there will be false religious teachers, though they may be sincere, and I think that's what we see here. And Jesus says there will be many. It'll be those who follow the false teachers. How do we make sure that we're not a part of that? Well, we have to know the Word of God. We have to know truth. Unless we know truth, we cannot distinguish that which is false from truth. Those of divided loyalty. those who are trying to serve the Lord on the one hand and mammon on the other hand, as Jesus talks about in this sermon earlier in chapter 6. Those who are backsliders, those who once began their service to God, but they have fallen back. Those who are indifferent. Those who simply just do not care. Now, these types of people, they may be good people. They may be kind people. They may be courteous people. But they're just too busy to care about their soul. And all who fall under these categories will be lost in the final judgment. Let's talk about the impartiality of God's judgment. Against whom? In the judgment of the last day, God's judgment will be impartial. All will stand before God. And you know what? I am thankful for that. Because in the land in which we live, we let a person's position in life influence us. If a person has a lot of money, or they're on a higher economic level, they get some privileges. It seems like in our day and time, if a person is a politician, that it doesn't matter what a person does. It's just kind of ignored or overlooked or... In my life, I think back, some of you will remember the Chappaquiddick incident, Edward Kennedy. Runs into water, the female who was with him dies. What came of that? Really nothing. Or you may remember Patty Hearst. Came from a powerful family. A family who had a lot of money. Things she did just kind of overlooked. I think about President Nixon and what he did. Just completely pardoned. Or if you have money in this country, you can get by with things. It won't be that way in the judgment. It won't matter what my name is. It won't matter what position I may have held. It won't matter how much money I have made. It won't make a bit of difference. Everyone will stand on the same level because God is no respecter of persons. We read that in Romans chapter 2, and I'm going to turn over to there. Beginning with verse 5, as we go down through verse 11, listen to what the Bible says. Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. To those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. The judgment in the last day will be impartial. The judgment of the last day, we see the terribleness of God's judgment. It will be terrible for all who are lost. I don't know if I can even begin to come up with words to describe how terrible it's going to be. We read what God's Word teaches us. And that's exactly how it's going to be. And about the best that I can think of is think of someone maybe who has committed a crime and they're before a judge, and the judge says, you are sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And that really doesn't even compare to hell. Or a judge says, you are sentenced to die, either in the electric chair or by lethal injection. You are sentenced to die. You remember what Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, where Jesus makes this statement, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Can you think what it would be like if when you stand or I stand before God in judgment and He says, depart. I never knew you. You work lawlessness. And then it dawns on me, I won't be in heaven. And then I find myself cast into everlasting fire. Somebody says that couldn't be me. Yes, it could be you. It could be me. It could be. Terrible, the end. When you think about the finality of God's judgment, in Matthew chapter 25, He pictures for us, Jesus does, beginning in verse 1, some wise and some foolish virgins. And let me just read what He says there, the first 10 verses to begin with. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Here were 5 virgins, foolish virgins who did not make proper preparation. The bridegroom came. They made some preparation. The bridegroom came, and the Bible says the door was shut. Verse 11, afterward the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But He answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Once the Lord comes, the door is shut, and all opportunities to render obedience to the Lord are gone. In judgment, I don't think it would be difficult to convince someone, based on what the Bible teaches, that a person should be baptized for the remission of their sins. I imagine there would be people who would be thrilled to do that. Or if here is something you've done or something someone has done, you've wronged someone, they've wronged, it wouldn't be difficult to get 2 people together for them to make that right in the judgment. Or let's just say we were given 6 more months to live. I doubt that any of us would have any trouble attending all of the services of the church. But when we come before God, it'll be too late. Now we have opportunity. Now we can make changes in our lives that need to be changed. But when the end comes, when we stand before God in judgment, it's all over. And the key word is the same key word that we read back there in Zephaniah, and that is before the judgment. That's when we should do what we need to do. Now, I want us to go back to the book of Zephaniah. As we return to the 2nd chapter of Zephaniah, we see a 5th thing that was going that was coming about with this judgment. And that is, we see the universality of God's judgment. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon desolate. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday, and Ekron shall be uprooted. Look down at verse 8. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the insults of the people of Ammon, with which they have reproached my people and made arrogant threats against their borders. Look at verse 12. For you Ethiopians also, you shall be slain by my sword. Look at verse 13. And he will stretch out his hand against the north, destroy Assyria, and make Nineveh a desolation as dry as the wilderness. When you look at that, hardly a nation was going to escape. Those nations mentioned in verse 4 are west of Judah. Those nations mentioned in verse 8 are east of Judah. In verse 12, south of Judah. Verse 13, north of Judah. Judgment would reach north, south, east, and west. And just so in the judgment of our Lord, all shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. None of us will escape. A sixth thing, as we look at Zephaniah, and that is Zephaniah impresses them with their lack of excuse. What excuse could the Jews offer? Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted, to the oppressing city. She has not obeyed His voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not drawn near to her God. Drop down to verse 5. The Lord is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness. Every morning He brings His justice to light. He never fails, but the unjust knows no shame. When you think about the judgment of the last day, when we stand before God, if we're not ready, what excuse would we offer? What excuse would I offer? I don't have any excuse. And any excuse that I might offer would be exactly that. It would be an excuse. And that is true of most every one of us here this morning. No excuse to offer. Sermons after sermon after sermon that I've listened to, that I've taught. Bible classes after Bible classes that I have sat through and that I have taught. Encouragement from good people. Bibles everywhere in our home. Even stuffed away in drawers, and we might have to look to find some of them. Access to God's Word everywhere. The exhortation that I've been given throughout my life from my father and my mother. What excuse would I have to offer? The truth is, I would be just as inexcusable as the people of Judah, if not more so. So far, we've only talked about those who would be lost in the judgment. But Zephaniah doesn't end the book there. As we come to the end of the book, we see those who are going to be saved. And we get our last point, and that is, there's going to be a purified remnant. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. Everything is not negative. As Zephaniah writes this book, there will be a purified remnant. In verse 8, therefore wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then I will restore to the people a pure language, that they may call on the name of the Lord, to serve Him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, the daughter of my dispersed one, shall bring my offering. In that day you shall not be shamed for any of your deeds in which you transgressed against me. For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Who was going to be saved? Well, he talks about those who were pure. Those who are united there in verses 8 and 9. Verses 10 and 11, he talks about those who are humble. Verses 12 and 13, those who are truthful. Those who are secure. And when I read that, we need to be thankful that when the final judgment comes, it will not be to everyone depart. To others, it will become, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And we can be among that number. And you think of all of the praise and all of the glory that will never end. There's going to be a purified remnant. And our goal is to be among those who are saved. What kind of people will be there? Revelation chapter 21, verse 27 says, "And there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Those who are humble, those who are serving God in truth, they can have that secure feeling of knowing, I will be with God by His grace in the end. A judgment was coming against Judah, and Zephaniah, he warns against such. And we have just as clear of a picture of the judgment we're going to face and the warnings that we are given. Who will be ready? Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Are you doing His commandments? If you are, you're blessed. You may be able to enter one. You will be able to enter one day into the gates of that city and be with God forevermore. And the appeal that we make to each of us is to make sure that we serve the Lord, that we serve Him with righteousness, in righteousness, because we want to go to heaven. And what God has instructed us to do are the things that will enable us, as we're obedient to it, to go to heaven, to be in heaven eternally. Blessed are those who do His commandments. None of us has to be lost. Every one of us can be saved, and that is our desire. If you're not a child of God and you understand that the Lord teaches that you are to believe and be baptized for the remission of your sins in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, that you're to repent of your sins and be baptized so that your sins can be forgiven, as Acts chapter 2, verse 38 teaches, that you're to believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as Philip told the eunuch as they traveled down that road. If you're willing to do that, confess your faith in Jesus Christ, turn from your sins, you can be added to the Lord's church. You can be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. Those of us who are Christians, we must strive daily to serve the Lord faithfully. When we sin, we must ask God's forgiveness, repent of that sin, pray to God. He will forgive. The judgment day is coming. It should not be something that we fear if we're serving the Lord. If we fail to serve, it's something that certainly ought to fear. If you need to respond, why not do so as we stand and sing for our encouragement?